Good morning again. Happy Lord's Day, and we are thankful you've tuned in and stayed with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. During my time on the program, we've been trying to meditate together on the providence of God. And in previous weeks, we've talked about God's active intervention, how God sees fit, according to his will, sometimes to actively intervene, to stop situations, to protect his children, maybe even to strike somebody dead. And one of the ways in which he actively intervenes is through his angels, through the host of the Lord intervening in the lives of his children. And we want to focus on that today, that one of the ways, maybe even the primary way, that God sends active providential deliverance in the lives of his children is through dispatching of angels to provide for their need. God's angels encamp round about the children of God. We're told in Psalm 34 and in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, the topic of angels is a very interesting and maybe even mysterious topic. We know that angels are called to minister unto the elect, to minister unto the heirs of promise, and sometimes they minister through protection, sometimes they minister through the destroying of the enemies of God's people, and they desire to look into the mystery of worship. Again, angels are just a very interesting topic. We have some information here and there, but probably not as much as we would like. But notice here in this text in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. We don't know how many angels are in heaven, but it gives the idea of billions, probably thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands. So think about how many children of God are on this earth, right? At any given time. I mean, I tend to think there is probably children of God in the billions here on the face of the earth alive today. So God's angels encamp. So not just that you have one angel that's dispatched to you. You know, you don't have one guardian angel. No, the idea of encamping round about gives the idea there's a hedge. We've talked about that before, right? The hedge of protection. Well, what is one of the primary ways that God makes a hedge of protection around his people? Through angels. And notice, it's not just one angel that's dispatched and I've got one guardian angel. No, God's angels encamp round about. We're protected on every side by angels. So think about just logistically, the angels, there has to most likely be billions of angels, because if every child of God is encamped round about by angels, then how many angels must there be, right? Well, that's why God is called the Lord of hosts. There are so many angels, more than we can imagine, for sure. So keep that in mind, that God dispatches his angels to protect you in every direction. The angel of the Lord encamps round about. And who did the angel of the Lord encamp round about? Those that fear him. And those that fear him are the children of God, because there's no fear of God before the eyes of the wicked. And notice specifically, not only do they just encamp, they're not just sitting there idly. They encamp round about and delivereth them. So the angels of the Lord are in the business of delivering us. The angels of the Lord are in the business of protecting us and saving us from many perils here in this world. So that's a great comforting thought to think about, isn't it? I know it is for me. I hope it is for you, that angels surround me. The angels of the Lord encamp round about the children of God to protect us in every direction. So let's look at some examples. We have in these examples angels that come to minister, that come to encourage praying saints, but we also have angels that show up with a sword, angels that show up with the intention of destroying the enemies of God's people. We're told that there is one angel, Michael, the archangel, the captain of the angelic army, if you will, the captain or the archangel under the direction of the chief captain, which is Jesus Christ. But one of those angels, one of those warrior angels, showed up and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. 2 Kings chapter 19. And that's a fantastic story over there. I'd encourage you to go read the whole thing. So many lessons there. You have Rabshakeh that's coming and blaspheming the name of the Lord and telling Hezekiah and the people of God that they can't trust God and they're going to destroy them. And what does God do? God heeds the prayer of Hezekiah. He heeds the prayer of the people. And an angel, and I know that sounds almost like a number on a page, but 185,000. I mean, that's just so many people, right? I mean, we can't even fathom that. We're killed in one night. 185,000 dead bodies in one night. Why? Because God sent that angel to protect his people. He encamped round about them and he delivered them from their enemy that were outnumbering the people of God, that in a logistical military sense probably would have defeated the people of God. But what did God do? God sent an angel that destroyed. And boy, you want to talk about power. Oh boy, you want to talk about power. Jesus said, at any time, I could ask the Lord and he could give me 12 legions of angels. Well, with a legion of angels, think about how much damage a legion of angels would do if one angel can destroy 185,000 men. Well, this world would probably be wiped out if Jesus dispatched and called upon all those legions of angels to come and defend him. Because one angel destroyed 185,000. That is astounding, isn't it? Praise God. So Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha and his servant are surrounded by the enemy's army, and the servant gets up and he's all terrified, as he should be in a natural sense. But Elisha wakes up and he says, no, things are fine. And what are you talking about? Things aren't fine. And he says, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open the eyes of the servant. And what he sees is he originally saw only his enemies, but instead he realized that actually it's not the enemies that have surrounded them. It's that God's got the enemy surrounded. He sees a mountain full of angels, horses, and chariots of fire, to where it became very evident that there's more with us than are with them. And when there's an angelic host of the Lord's army that shows up to fight on behalf of the Lord's people, I'll tell you, there's always more with us than be with them. I mean, how many, and God doesn't open our eyes to be able to see that, but how many angels are there to defend God's people that we can't see, especially in a collective sense when the church is meeting together and working together? How many angels are dispatched to protect us from our enemies? And I don't think it's likely, the Lord could certainly do it, but I don't think it's likely for us to have our eyes open to see the fullness of the angels that's surrounding us like this servant did. But if we could, boy, it's just amazing to think about the fact of what we would see if God did see fit to open our eyes to where we could see the reality of spiritual warfare and angels that are fighting on our behalf. If we could see the reality of that, boy, we would never be afraid of some flesh and blood, right? Instead, we would have courage and boldness to know that God is going to protect us. So there's always more with us than be with them. And while we may not physically see those angels, we trust by faith that those angels are there to protect the elect heirs of God. So in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a godly praying man. And in one of his very fervent prayers in Daniel chapter 10, an angel comes to Daniel after his prayer. He's been praying for 21 days, and Michael the archangel came to relieve him in this warfare that he's been battling. This angel tells him that I would have came earlier, but I have been battling the prince of Persia for 21 days. Michael, the archangel, came to spell this angel, and then the angel was going to go back to that spiritual battle after he completed ministering to Daniel. And that's just a small little sliver. Again, Lord, from time to time, just peels back the curtain just a little bit. There's so much of this spiritual warfare that goes on around us that we don't see and that we can't understand. But boy, how amazing is it when God does peel back the curtain and we see the power of these angels, and we see how these angels for 3 weeks were fighting the prince of Persia. Now, that possibly was a physical man, but no doubt if this prince of Persia was doing something that the angels had to fight against, there were fallen angels that were fighting on the other side of that battle. No doubt about it. So that was a tremendous spiritual warfare that was going on somewhere, whether the prince of Persia is a fallen angel or the prince of Persia is a man. It's evident that there was a conflict that was going on that was so heightened that this angel had to be there for 3 weeks, and then Michael the archangel came. But be reminded that there is spiritual warfare going on around us every single day that we don't have privy to. And by the way, that may be part of the reason why the Lord doesn't give us the clarity charity. Because, I mean, yes, it is true that there are chariots of fire that are fighting on our behalf. But boy, if we saw the reality of just how nasty and how wicked these fallen angels were, we'd probably focus more on them than we would the angels that are fighting on our behalf. So it is a tremendous blessing that we do not have the curtain peeled all the way back to see the wickedness of the kingdom of darkness and Satan and these evil spirits and all these wicked fallen angels that are trying to destroy us and attack us every day. It's a real blessing that we are not privy to that. So this angel came and ministered to Daniel after he'd been fighting for three weeks with the prince of Persia, and he was going to go right back to that battle as well. We're told also in the book of Daniel in a prophecy of the last days that God will send his angel Michael to stand up and fight for God's people at the end of time. There's going to be a time of suffering that's greater than anything that this world has ever seen, which is just hard to fathom. But in the midst of that, what does God do? He sends Michael to protect them. He sends Michael to fight on their behalf. And then also in the midst of this heightened persecution of God's people, this heightened spiritual warfare where Michael comes and fights on our behalf, one of the things that's characterizing of Jesus coming back is the shout of the angel, the shout of the archangel. And it sure seems to me like Michael is going to be the person who shouts. And in the midst of this horrible conflict, of spiritual conflict, Michael is going to shout and say, "Here he is, here he's coming." And Jesus is going to come back and destroy all of the enemies that are part of the kingdom of darkness. So then, still in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was faithful to remain committed to prayer, opening his window to pray publicly, and he gets cast in the lion's den. Well, we're told specifically that the Lord sent an angel to providentially protect this faithful servant from the lions. Now, those lions just didn't start having a fast all of a sudden. The enemies that were against Daniel, they were thrown in there and they were crushed and eaten. So what did God do? God sent an angel to protect his faithful child in the midst of danger. Do you see this common theme? How God sends his angel to deliver his children out of perilous conditions. Acts chapter 12, Peter was cast in prison. And the implication is that Peter was going to be executed pretty soon because Herod had already killed James. So the implication is that Peter was going to be next. So what did the church do? The church prayed without ceasing. The church had a prayer meeting for Peter. And what did God do? In response to the faithful, effectual, fervent prayers of the church, what did God do? He sent his angel to break off Peter's shackles and he let him right out of the front door of the prison. And then, of course, he goes to the church house, the home that where they're meeting together and praying. He knocks on the door and then the young lady hears Peter's voice and runs in and says, "Peter's here." And they didn't believe it and they thought she was crazy, thought she was mad. Until Peter finally comes in and they're just astounded and shocked that God answered the prayer that they were praying so fervently for. But it shouldn't surprise us. Again, Peter's life was in danger. He was probably going to be executed in a very short period of time. And what did God do? God sent an angel to just walk Peter out of the front door of the prison. Wow. Praise God. Amen. So then Abraham, he sends his servant in Genesis 24 to find a wife for his son Isaac. And he prays for God to direct. He prays for God to send his angel before his servant to make his journey prosperous. And we've talked about this before in God's providence in marriage, but we see how the Lord just manifestly blessed the journey of the servant and how in the midst of his prayer, before he's even done praying, Rebecca shows up and answers that prayer and immediately starts offering water to him and offering water to his animals. And that is a manifest answer to that prayer. Well, the reason why the Lord guided so abundantly, so powerfully, was because Abraham had confidence and faith that he was going to send, that God was going to send his angel before the servant to make his journey prosperous. And guess what? God answered that prayer. You see, God answered that prayer. Why was it that this happened so powerfully and so miraculously? Because there was an angel guiding, you see, no doubt multiple angels. There were angels guiding the steps of the servant as he went in faith, he went in prayer, he went in enthusiasm, all those things that we've previously considered. But the reason why his journey was prosperous was not because the servant had a great idea. It was because the angel of the Lord was with him, guiding him and directing. We also see an instance in Numbers 22 where God actively puts an angel with a sword drawn to prevent Balaam from going to Moab. It's amazing how the Lord just peels back the curtain a little bit, and we don't know if this is a abnormal circumstance. I tend to think it is. I don't necessarily think that the animal kingdom is privy to seeing the angels all the time. But in this instance, this donkey saw the angel that Balaam could not see. And he tries to turn around. They're in a narrow strait, and he kind of smashes Balaam's foot. Then he does it again, and Balaam smites the donkey. And then the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey to talk back to Balaam. And he says, essentially, look, there's an angel right there. I don't want to go through there. There's an angel right there. So the donkey could see the angel of the Lord. Balaam couldn't see that, but notice, don't miss the point. God actively put an angel in the way of Balaam because he was going to make a decision that he shouldn't have made. He was going to go somewhere he should not have went. So in this instance, God saw fit to send an angel. And it kind of makes me think sometimes, how many circumstances does God put angels in our way and we just plow right through them? You know, there are hindrances that the Lord is trying to prevent us from doing something, but instead we just plow right through them. So in this instance, God sent an angel to prevent Balaam from going to Moab, and he gets mad at the donkey. The donkey talks back to him, and it's all because God sent an angel, and notice, with a sword drawn, again, a military posture of this angel that meant business, but God sent an angel to prevent Balaam from going somewhere he should not have went. So God many times uses angels to deliver his people. The power of these angels, 185,000 men killed by one angel. And we see people being let out of prison. We see marriages that are established. We see tremendous deliverances through his angels that the Lord dispatches to encamp round about the children of God that fear him. And when you pray, I certainly hope that you pray for angels. I try to do that. Lord, as we go out today, protect my family, protect my friends, protect me. Lord, dispatch angels on our behalf. Lord, dispatch angels to protect us. Now, that doesn't mean that an angel failed every time somebody has a car wreck, that an angel failed every time something happens. But boy, we are protected from so much more than we realize. And again, we just can't capture that. We can't articulate that properly. But the reality is we are just protected from so much that we don't understand that's out there to harm us. And if we understood the perils that really lie out there that God protects us from every day, I don't think we would ever question the Lord. Lord, why didn't you save this time? Instead, Lord, praise God that you protect us 95 to 98% of the time, right? And one of the main ways that he does that is through angels. So praise God. Praise God for angels. Praise God for angels that minister to the elect of God, that protect us, that fight on our behalf. And praise God for God's loving kindness and his charity and his love toward his children to send angels to protect us from our enemies, both our enemies in flesh and blood, but also our enemies in the kingdom of darkness and Satan and the fallen angels and the evil spirits as well. So next time we'll consider prayer, and we need to pray. We need to pray for, Lord, send your angels to protect me, guide me and direct me, and pray for God to bless us. We hope the Lord will bless and keep you on this Lord's Day. God bless.